In this episode, I interview Chris Maxwell Gaines of Innovative Water Solutions in Austin, Texas, and we discuss everything from content marketing to building strategic partners to grow your business.
Welcome to the Handyman Startup Podcast, where you get inside access to strategies, tips, and insights to accelerate your handyman business success. And now, here's your host, Big D.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Handyman Startup Podcast. This is episode 11, and I got some great information to share with you. I've got another interview, and based on the response I got from my last interview with Jim Copenhaver of Punchless Chicago, I mean, you guys really loved that interview. So I could tell that that's obviously the kind of content that you guys want me to bring on the show, get some more outside perspective from other successful business owners. So that's exactly what I'm doing for you today. Now, I hope you're listening to this podcast while you're out there driving to your next job, getting ready to do some home service repairs or installations or whatever. And if not, you know, I hope that you're taking action, implementing the necessary steps to get you closer to your goal of owning your business or making more money, getting more customers, enjoying your business, increasing your rates, whatever it is. I hope that you're taking that next step to grow where you want to be. I know that's what I'm doing every day. I'm constantly working hard, putting out these podcasts, working for customers, you know, grinding all day long so I can bring this great content to you guys. So I hope you're out there doing the same. And if you are, let me know. You know, give me a shout out, go to my blog, leave a comment, send me an email, whatever you want to do. So like I said, you guys definitely really loved the interview with Jim Copenhaver, and you know, he really brought it. And one of you guys even left me a review on iTunes, which I really appreciate. And like I say, and I promote on every podcast, if you get a chance, go ahead and leave a review. And here's, I'm gonna share a quick review from Jim C. And here's what Jim C said on his review of my podcast. The content in this podcast is well thought out and very helpful. Big D is effectively teaching concepts that would take years to learn through trial and error. The most recent podcast with an interview was the best yet. Thanks for all your hard work. You're welcome, and thank you so much, Jim, for leaving that review. Like I said, that really helps me out, helps my podcast grow and reach more people and help others start their home service businesses and enjoy what they do. Because that's what I'm all about. I'm all about getting more customers, making more money, and enjoying your business. So I'm getting ready to take a vacation right now, and I'm actually, it's 7 o'clock, and I leave at 4:30 in the morning tomorrow. So I'm recording this podcast to make sure that you guys get some good content while I'm out on my vacation. And this podcast is, like I said, an interview with Chris Maxwell Gaines of Innovative Water Solutions. And Chris has a really inspirational story and some really good insight to share for anybody looking to grow their business, or, you know, maybe especially if you have a specific new idea that you want to take to the home industry, you know, and really cultivate a new idea, because that's exactly what he did with water caching system. He brought this idea to Austin, Texas. He's been doing it for 10 years now, and now he's got a company that brings him in estimated $1.8 million this next year. So he's definitely kicking some ass, and he's got some great stuff to share. So let's go ahead and get right into this interview. Chris Maxwell Gaines, the founder of Innovative Water Solutions in Austin, Texas. How's it going, Chris?
Pretty good, Dan. Pretty good. It's great to be on the podcast, and hopefully we can share some good information with your listeners.
Awesome. I'm hoping the same. So let's get started off with a little background information on yourself. You know, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you came about starting your business, and also give us a little insight into what your business is.
Okay. Well, first off, you know, just for my business is we focus on water conservation technologies, and so that has actually expanded over the years. But when we first got started back in 2004, we were actually focusing on rainwater harvesting systems, and So yeah, so that's kind of the basis of my business. So, but to get started, which is a really, I think, a neat story because of the path that got myself and my business partner together. So I was went to Texas A&M University and got my civil engineering degree. Well, during my my coursework there, I had worked at an engineering firm in a co-op program. So basically, once I graduated, I knew that I did not just want to go straight back into a cubicle AutoCAD, you know, situation. And so my wife and I, we explored some issue, some avenues, and we found the Peace Corps. So we applied and got into the Peace Corps, and then that's where we actually met my business partner and his wife, and we were assigned to Suriname, South America, which is on the northern coast of South America, and tropical, basically the north side of the Amazon rainforest. And so when we got there, we got assigned to our villages and all that, and basically my wife and I, we were in a far-flung village. And basically, we had to dig a latrine, you know, for those purposes. But then, the only water was drinking river water or collecting rainfall. And so our little hut had a at that time it was a 100-gallon tank, and we were using it. And so basically, we just fell into that lifestyle of just living completely with nothing but, you know, rainwater, and we had no electricity. It was just an amazing experience, and that really kicked us off. And especially for me, coming from a civil engineering background, where everything was, centralized. And so the water is treated, pumped to people's homes. You use it, you put it back in a pipe. It's, you know, delivered far off to a wastewater treatment plant and then treated and then dumped into a river. So, you know, really living off of a decentralized system, you know, like a rainwater system, was just eye-opening. And so basically came back here and to Austin, Texas, and it was early in 2004. My business partner and I, we were just sitting around one night, and it was raining, pouring raining outside. And we just said to each other, you know, back in Suriname, we would be collecting this rainwater. And there's just a certain feeling whenever you're collecting rainwater, especially for your own consumption. It's like money's going in your bank, right? And so we just kind of said, why aren't more people doing it here? And we started researching it. And then just on a whim, we said, let's try this out. And so that was then in March of 2004. We got a booth at a home and garden show, and we just threw it out there. And so it's funny because the that last day on that Sunday, this older couple came up to us and was listening to us talk about rainwater harvesting. And you know, we had never done a rainwater system other than our little, you know, systems that we did down in Suriname in Peace Corps, which is, you know, using scrap material. I mean, I had a bamboo gutter, basically, you know. So, but at the end of that day, they came back to us and they said, hey, we want for y'all to install a rainwater system for us. What do we do next? And we basically said, let us call you back, because, you know, we were just so new. We were just so surprised that we got a lead right off. And man, that kicked it all off. And we just took off from there.
Well, that's an awesome story, man. So you really used that experience to kind of, you know, utilize what you learned by just, you know, going and experiencing life in a different country, bringing that back to the U.S. And I'm sure that was pretty intriguing to a lot of the people at that home show.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really more of like being able to convey, you know, how much we take water for granted here. And so, yeah, so that, you know, just pairing that story up so that, I don't know, you know, if, you know, to start pulling out some lessons for, you know, your listeners, is that, you know, just really coming up with a story of your company, of why you got into the business. You know, that has, at the beginning, that really played well for us. And that got us, I think, in with a lot of people, even though we didn't have that, you know, the resume of, you know, tons of rainwater systems to show off to say, hey, we're experienced and we can do all this stuff. But just that story got us in, and really up to this day, it's really served us well. And so that is, I think, something for everyone to kind of really remember you know, everyone has a story, and it may be you need to embellish it a little bit and all that stuff like that. But I think that's a key part in developing a good foundation for your business.
And, you know, I think that's a really good point you make about the having a story for your business, because really, you know, that really gets them engaged, right? It really gets them attracted to listen to you and hear you out. And you kind of get to build that relationship with the story about you going to South America and you learned this cool system and you're trying to be green and trying to do something for the environment. And then, so it really draws them in, right? And that's kind of the benefit of the story, if I'm getting that right. Is that kind of the main benefit that you see?
That's right. I mean, it was at the beginning, you know, we didn't have that book where we can open up and go, hey, look, here's the, you know, 20 rainwater systems that we've done so far. And you know, which one would you like? What type of tank? You know, we had none of that. And so being able to really play up our story opened that door for us. And then, you know, maybe part of it being that we served 2 years in a Peace Corps. And so that, you know, people saw that as, you know, wow, that's, you know, we appreciate your service and all that. And so maybe that was part of, you know, them taking a leap, you know, with us, basically, you know, because, for some of these systems, you know, it's a good chunk of change. And so, you know, especially at the beginning for someone to, you know, jump and contract with a company that really doesn't have much of a background, you know, it really took a lot for them to trust us. And so I think having that story, having the Peace Corps story in our background, that really did open up those doors at the beginning. But it doesn't have to be, I think, anything as dramatic as, you know, 2 years of service in the Peace Corps. I mean, I think it's just, you know, family issues and why, you know, people want to start their own companies and do their own thing because they want to have more time with their kids. And, you know, just those things, I think, customers can connect with it. And that's the main thing that nowadays with the internet and with social media, it's just people want to connect with people and not just have this big company come in and do the work for them and then be gone. So I think definitely that did really push us forward at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, and the more I listen to you say that, you know, it brings me back to when I was first starting my handyman business. And I don't know if you know the story behind that, but I had, you know, almost no experience as a handyman and no business experience. Plus I look really young. So I, you know, I didn't have a whole lot going for me trying to like repair people's homes with no experience and no referrals or anything. And I'd tell them the story of, you know, I was a mechanical engineer, and I just didn't like my job and I just really wanted to work with my hands and I just loved doing home repairs. And like people really grabbed onto that. And like those people that I told that story to, I found that those were the people that would hire me back or leave me like a really good review. You know, if I just went in, you know, they hired me on the phone, went in and fixed their house or whatever, and then left, you know, they're kind of like, whatever, you know, there's no relationship built. But when I shared that story, and even when I share it through my website, that is what really has allowed me to actually get customers when I had, just like you, no referrals and stuff. So that's awesome advice. I'm glad you brought that up. So let's go. So let's talk a little bit more about your business now. So you started in 2004, and where are you at today?
So yeah, basically, you know, starting in 2004, we bootstrapped it, you know, just from savings, my business partner and myself, to really right now, you know, it's a pretty good clip. We have 14 employees. And we're estimated right by the end of this year to be in that about 1.8 million in terms of revenue. So it's been a great journey and we've grown a lot and it has been 10 years. So it's not any type of like overnight success and just, you know, blowing up. But there has been a ton of lessons learned, a ton of mistakes, a ton of, you know, wasted money. But we feel like what we're doing really makes it makes people feel good. It makes us feel good. You know, so when we wake up in the morning, We love what we do because we know that we're helping the environment, we're helping the local water resources, and our employees also. It gives them great pride in what they do. So it's just that's, you know, just the company has really been very good for myself, my business partner, and everyone who has been employed for us. So
wow, that's incredible, Chris. I mean, 14 employees and $1.8 million. I mean, sure, you've been in business for 10 years, but you're bringing a product that essentially you developed. You know, it's not like you're taking an existing business and just, you know, something that works like a fast food chain. You know, the fact that you've been in business for 10 years, that's awesome. And then not only that, you've grown to $1.8 million. That's really incredible. And, you know, in my opinion, of course, my business is very humble compared to that.
Well, and I, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of just getting used to, you know, being able to open up more about the financials, but you know, it is part of our story. And yeah, I mean, you know, the whole statistic about, you know, whatever 80-90% of businesses, you know, fail within the first 5 years. And so, you know, to reach these milestones and to get past them, you know, we really, kind of appreciate what that means, because there are many people who try to start a business and don't make it. And so also, like you said, to have a product like this, which is not a typical, you know, always kind of say like, you know, we're not the HVAC guy, you know, who's coming in and everyone needs an air conditioner. And so, you know, if it goes out, you gotta, you know, replace it. And so we're really in a business that we are trying to make a market for it. And website stuff has really played into our development. So I don't know if you want to kind of go down that path a little bit.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, I do actually want to discuss your marketing, because like you said, you're not a company that is, you know, fixing plumbing. You know, every house has plumbing. You're not a company just going out and fixing toilets or, you know, like you said, air conditioning, or for me, you know, everybody needs a handyman at some point. So you're actually having to sell something they don't necessarily need, and there are other options for it, and it's very, very rare. Plus, you have a very high job cost. I'm sure you're at least up in the tens of thousands of dollars. So let's say, what is your primary method for getting these eyes on your business? How do you gain that visibility with a new customer who may not even, who be maybe just getting started looking for a water caching system?
Yeah, the primary vehicle is our website. I mean, it has been just amazing for us. we tried various different advertising avenues over the years. At the beginning, you know, we thought that everyone has to be in the Yellow Pages, and so we took out an ad in the Yellow Pages, and boy, was that a waste of money, you know. But you know, it's just one of those things that you learn. And then, and I don't know if it was just by setting up a website and getting, you know, those keywords. You know, this was again back in 2004, and just a buddy of mine kind of making up a website for us real quick, and then just getting those keywords in there. And so I don't know if it was just that, and that got us kind of you know, up on in terms of organic search. But then I guess it was probably about 2008 or so that we switched over to the new website and just really refined it and just had a good background to it, to where the structure of it really lent to good search engine optimization. And so, yeah, I mean, you search any of the local terms for rainwater harvesting, drainage solutions, anything like that, you know, we're in the top three of Google. And so because of that, you know, probably every day, you know, we have either a couple of contact forms or a couple of phone calls to our business every single day. And again, that's just without us doing any type of marketing. In terms of the traditional marketing of, you know, billboards and magazines and radio spots. And so that's really allowed us to, you know, make sure that our prices are competitive, because like you say, this is a luxury business. You know, that's kind of the way I call it, just because people don't have to do these water conservation solutions. They could just go about what they're doing and then just, you know, pay a little bit more on their water bill at the end of the month. So we've also identified that marketing to certain types of people, you know, people who are leaning, who are more environmental in terms of their thinking, more green, more sustainable in terms of their lifestyle, you know, really trying to, find ways to get in front of them. And sometimes it's hard, but sometimes, you know, they're already going out there searching online for these solutions anyway. And so by having a good website with good information, educational information, diagrams, all that type of stuff on it, you know, it really helps to solidify our position. Man, I mean, we've tried, you know, various other, you know, avenues of marketing, and just, you know, you look back and you just go, man, why did we waste that money? You know, nothing came of it. I mean, in terms of just, you know, pure marketing to you know, passerbyers, you know, people just come in, you know, looking for potentially, you know, hey, I heard about rainwater harvesting, let's look this up and who can help me, you know, do this. You know, we're there, our website's there. But the other big part of it is just strategic partnerships. And because we do a lot of systems that are done during construction, say for a new home, then we really have taken that opportunity to pair up with home builders, remodelers, other trade contractors that do parts of what we do. So say, for instance, gutter contractors, who are guys who just do gutters and that's all they do. But whenever they're doing the gutters, they'll have clients who go, hey, do you know where can I get a rain barrel? And then they go, oh, well, you know, I have someone that you can talk to that can give you something better than a rain barrel. And so, you know, we really have done a lot to hook up with these type of partnerships as a way to market, and so that we're not paying money in these very, you know, broad-based marketing avenues, and really cultivating those relationships, so that now, you know, you spend time picking up the phone and calling these guys and asking how they're doing and you know, what's going on with their current projects, you know, and just kind of keeping up with them rather than spending, you know, money per se on some advertising solution. So it's a little bit different, but pairing those two up, you know, just the organic search engine stuff and the partnerships that we've developed over these 10 years, that has really grown our business and kept us, you know, more than busy. So,
yeah, that's great. You know, I totally agree with the whole internet thing. Of course, you know, that's one of the products I sell on my site, is how to actually essentially do the type of marketing you're doing, which is content marketing or education-based marketing. And, you know, the power of that is, just for my listeners to reiterate this, is that not only does it give you the ability to be found online because of those keywords that you're including in it, but it also gives you the ability to educate your customer, provide value to them before the sale, and then you're going to be able to convert that much higher because you've already built a relationship by providing them with knowledge. So that's great. You know, that's great what you're doing. And I think it's even more awesome because how early you started. I mean, the internet, as far as content marketing is concerned, was very new back in 2004. I don't know if you started that early, but even in 2005, you know, it was still very new for somebody to partake in that kind of a marketing effort. And you know, that's awesome that you're kind of ahead of everybody else in that respect. So the other thing I want to dive into is your building strategic relationships. Now, how do you actually go about finding those strategic relationships? And then how do you approach them once you do find somebody you want to partner up with?
So for us, you know, what kind of started that off was really the homeowners would initiate, you know, a home, you know, a person's building a home and they have a builder, and then they're researching and they say, hey, I don't want to drill a well. I want to install a home, you know, complete home rainwater harvesting system. Then they'll tell the builder, hey, I found these guys, you know, go talk to them, you know. So that's how it kind of got started with home builders. And then we joined the local Home Builders Association, which is for here in Austin, is a very large organization. And they really do a good job of keeping all the builders, you know, just a lot of information going around. And so that provided us an avenue to be able to get in front of these home builders. But really a lot of it is just as we go around and we're doing projects for different people, you know, that person will say already have a relationship with a gutter installer. And so they'll say, hey, I already got the quote from this guy and, you know, he's my friend or whatever. I'm going to use him. And then, you know, we come in to do the rainwater system. Well, you know, we have to work with that guy side by side to, you know, certain interconnection points in our systems. And so with that, we just, you know, continue that relationship with them and just try to say, hey, you know, we want to be there to help your customers out if they're indeed in the market for a system that we do. Because, you know, I think a lot of people feel like if they can provide good information and a good contractor to their clients and that reflects well on them, I think a lot of you know, contractors are just you know, very okay with just, you know, getting that type of feeling from it. We have been kind of kicking around the idea of doing a more formal referral program where actually, you know, we reward them for, you know, promoting us. And if we get a contracted job to them, you know, just have some sort of monetary reward, just, you know, to keep them interested in promoting our services. So we've been kicking that around. But, you know, I mean, it's just hard for me to put a, you know, I didn't go out and, you know, specifically join an organization and then get in front of them and just say, okay, you know, we're here, you know, to help your clients out. It was really more of an organic, for us at least, an organic growth of our partnership network.
Yeah, basically just providing work and talking to people. So that's, no, that's great. So let's jump way back into the Wayback Machine, back to when you first started your business, and kind of change the subject a little bit here. But I think there's a lot more to be gained from your story of getting started and that first kind of that first moment of, you know, deciding to start the business, jumping in, and then, you know, because I remember you said something about you just went to a trade show. You decided you were going to do it in 2004. Later that month, you signed up for a trade show, and all of a sudden, some lady was like, "Hey, I want to buy this," and you're like, "Well, we don't have anything to sell yet," and you had to figure that out. So, what was that like? And, you know, what were some of the struggles that went along with that?
You know, I mean, back then, I guess just being a lot younger, I guess just really didn't care. You know, we didn't put up a lot of money. So it was, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We tried it. I don't know. I mean, I kind of think about, you know, nowadays with everyone talking, you know, the lean startup movement and just, you know, put a product out there before it's really, you know, truly done and just, you know, see if it has legs. And then if it does and you get some paying customers, then you can develop it out. And but why spend a ton of money on something that's not going to work? So, you know, we could have, you know, bought a truck and bought a tools and just, you know, got all ready to go and then said, okay, we're open our doors, come to us, buy our products. And if no one came, then we would have been like, we spent all this money. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to think back, you know, that long ago. But part of it was just that, you know, we really had nothing else to lose. And I mean, we still had our day jobs. Yeah, we were just winging it. And then just by having that feeling of just winging it, we were going in and just saying, yeah, you know, we can do this, you know, and that really helped to get us over that. I guess the butterflies that you could have of really putting yourself out there in front of people as, hey, I'm going to provide a service, you know, I'm going to come to your home and build something for you. You know, that really got us over that hump and just said, you know, hey, you know, let's just do it. Let's try it. So,
yeah, I really love that part of the story because you just got started. And that's the biggest thing for most people is just getting started. You know, that's where they fall short. You know, they could probably be a really excellent handyman or a really excellent electrician or whatever you're trying to do, but they just don't get started. And I love how you just did it. So once you did and you had that first job, now I didn't hear anything about you ever running a contracting business. So all of a sudden you are doing contracting and you're doing big jobs. You know, I know that that's got to be at least several thousand dollars for one of those projects. So how did you get into that contracting and what were some of the learning, you know, the challenges of contracting right off the bat? And how did you do it without a license, more importantly?
Yeah, well, you know, in Texas, you don't have to have a license to do, you know, any type of, you know, since we weren't doing general contracting work per se, we didn't have to have a license.
Really?
I
You did
guess
not have to help? That's crazy.
no, and even now with rainwater harvesting, we're actually going through a process. We're trying to create an actual rainwater harvesting license for the state of Texas.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought it would be a little bit more stringent for that kind of project. Like you'd at least need a general contractor's license just over a certain dollar limit. But man, in Texas,
Well, you
anything
know,
goes, I guess, huh?
Texas, the Wild West. I mean, it's yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we've never come against that. You know, and no one. I've researched it some more, and over the years, and there is nothing apparent to us. And so, yeah, we just ran with it and didn't look back, I guess, you know.
Well, that's cool. And like I said, there's a lot to be gained from that because you just got started. You didn't let the little details hold you back. You didn't worry about having a perfect contract. You got started. You did it for a while. You improved along the way. And now you have a $1.8 million business, which is awesome. That being said, what was that moment that you had where you were like, I've made it? Was there a moment in time where you're just like, you know what? I did it. This is it.
We've had plenty of those milestones, I guess, you know, to where, yes, you get that you get that confirmation that what you're doing is right for you, is right for your life. Definitely, you know, had plenty of those, and maybe, you know, really the biggest, like in terms of, you know, like that type of moment would be that. The day that I got my engineering license because of just the way that that's done for engineers, you have to, you know, take a big exam. You have to have, you know, X number of years of experience working under another engineer. And at that point where I got my license, and then basically that next day I was able to go to my boss, and because I already had Innovative Water Solutions moving and going, was able to just to go, okay, I'm done. Thank you very much. And so yeah, so I guess that would be, you know, I've made it moment when I was able to cut ties and just immediately jump over and just had this awesome business, you know, running already. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That definitely is a good feeling. I'm sure that was amazing. So yeah, I guess we should kind of wrap this up and let's talk about your plans for the future. I mean, what are you looking to do in the future, and what gets you excited to wake up in the morning?
Other than, you know, just the basic, you know, business stuff and kind of growing on that, what we're looking at is trying out a kind of education programs, I guess, if you call it, or more so training programs. And actually, we've put together a rainwater harvesting business training program, and then I emphasize the business side of it because, you know, there's a technical side to every business probably, and then of course there's the business side. And what we've seen over the years that we've been in business, we've seen a lot of guys come and go, you know, so they'll put up a website that says, hey, we offer rainwater harvesting systems, and then a year later you go check the website and it's nothing, you know, a GoDaddy parked thing or something, you know. So we've just seen that it can be tough because we're a non-typical business. And so because of that, we wanted to take all of the lessons that we've learned, put them into a training program and just put it out there and see if other contractors who, again, are doing similar work, you know, gutter contractors, you know, landscapers, irrigators, handymen, that's our big kind of immediate plans for expansion is to really promote this program and training program and see what it can do and hopefully bring a lot of value to a lot of contractors and, you know, just other entrepreneurs. So for right now, that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great opportunity for somebody who's trying to grow their business and also for you to kind of expand your reach, improving the environment. So that's great. Where would somebody go if they wanted to learn more about that?
So that particular program is at reigningprofits.com. They can find our website. It's just watercash.com. That's our main places where they can find us.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Chris, and sharing your story. I'm sure this will inspire a lot of my listeners out there who are looking to go big with their businesses as well. You know, their ideas in a similar niche, or maybe even just looking to add another revenue stream to their current revenue stream. So that's awesome, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
I appreciate it, Dan. And yeah, thanks for allowing me to ramble on. And hopefully, yeah, there's some nuggets of information that your listeners can pull from all of that. But yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Take it easy, man. All right, so that wraps up the interview with Chris. And you know, while Chris doesn't have a handyman business, he has some really great stuff to share that you can apply to the handyman business that, you know, I really want to refocus on and highlight from that interview, because there was a lot of really good, powerful concepts that Chris mentioned. You know, number one was that importance of having a story when you are first getting started and cultivating that story and telling your customers this story so that they have a way to relate to you, they have a way to remember you, and you have something to stand for. And you know, Chris definitely had a great story about, you know, traveling abroad and bringing bringing this water conservation technique back to the US, and that's awesome. But like he said, it doesn't have to be that crazy. You know, my story was just, I was a mechanical engineer that was unhappy with his job and really wanted to work with his hands and help people. And, you know, people related to that and they enjoyed it. So whatever you do, if you are getting started, definitely come up with your own story. You know, that's very powerful. Another thing is the power of the website, which really seems to be popping its head out over and over again with this podcast. And, you know, it's for good reason, because having a website is so critical for a business's success right now. And especially if you're getting started and you don't have a ton of money to market, you know, building your own website and doing it that way so it's automated and it's only a few hundred bucks a year and you can get a ton of exposure, there's still a lot of opportunity despite the fact there's a lot of people with websites. So that's another powerful one. And then another thing is the strategic relationships. Now, this isn't something I used when I first started my handyman business, but I can see how powerful it would be. I mean, I've met some electricians and some plumbers along the way, and I hand out their card to, I've handed it out to countless people, or at least given their name to countless people, just for jobs that I can't do or jobs that I don't want to do. And so if you were able to build this relationship with some other service professionals, you know, maybe a lawn care service or heating, ventilating, cooling, or, you know, any of those services that don't provide general handyman services, and get them to recommend you, that could bring you a lot of really good clients as well. So definitely keep that and store that away in your toolbox for getting customers. The last concept that I really like is just getting started before you're ready. I mean, Chris didn't have a ton of experience, you know, working for customers in their home or building, doing this construction, or, you know, there's a lot of things that was new to him when he first got started, but he just got started anyway. You know, from the words, his words exactly were, you know, they were just winging it at times. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that, because, you know, it's nice to have everything perfect and have this nice business plan and, you know, get everything prepared and know exactly what to expect. But, you know, that's also going to keep you from just getting started. You know, if you're waiting for things to be perfect, it's never going to be perfect. So just getting started before you're ready, just doing it and getting out there and taking that next step is so important. So, you know, if something's holding you back from getting started, then definitely just look at it from a point of view of like, okay, well, what is the next step to get going on this? And just take that next step. Don't worry about it being perfect. Just get started. So that's it for this podcast. I hope you found a lot of value in it. You know, if you did, please leave a comment, like I said, on iTunes. It's about time for me to get off of this mic and go get packed, ready to go fly to an island and enjoy my next week on vacation because I've been busting my ass for the last year, 2 years, working like a dog. And, you know, it's time to reap the benefits and go take a little relaxation on the beach. So I hope you guys are doing awesome. I'll see you next time in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Handyman Startup Podcast. For more information on how to start or grow your handyman business, visit www.handymanstartup.com.